Okay, so we're on the Tuvot HaFayin Aleph. So on the top line, Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'Yisrael Chodesh HaTzivah V'Chulei. So if you remember in the Mishnah, we said that we did yesterday, if a person makes a neder that his wife can't get hana from him for 30 days, and we said there's a way that a man can make such a neder. He says ahead of time, I'm opting out of this quid pro quo, which is, mizonot for Masi Adayim, you keep your Masi Adayim, I'm keeping my mizonot, and he makes a neder that she can't benefit from him. So if the neder is up to 30 days, so he has a stopgap measure to keep her as a wife, he'll yamid parnas, he'll have a steward give her what the needs. If the neder was only for 30 days or less, he can be mamid parnas, but less than that, he has to divorce her and give her a ketubah. And then the Tan Rabbi Huda said, if the husband's the Yisrael, and it's just 1 month, he'll keep her as his wife. And then eventually, in the second month, he has to divorce her. And we spoke about the Nafamina yesterday between the Tsushitot, about the Chodesh, whether it's 30 days or 29 days. The Tanna Kama says 30 days, and Rabbi Huda holds 29 days. And he says, what? Ushnaim Yotzi, we take two. And then if it's a Kohen, we give him a little more slack. He can keep her for up to 2 months with this netter. And then the third month, he has to divorce her. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara. Oh, this I did this. I'm sorry, with Rabbi Yehuda. That Ikabena, we did that already. So on line four. So Amarav Lo Shanu El Bafarish. So Rav says this din that he can keep her, for 30 days. It's only when he specified. But if he just makes a neder that I'm not supporting her without any time limitation, Yotzila alter became ketubah. Then he has to divorce her immediately. In other words, we're not going to wait the 30 days. In other words, you can think, look, for 30 days, he has that, he could do the parnas method. Let's say he doesn't say he's making the neder for 30 days. He just says, he makes a neder, my wife can't benefit from me. So maybe we'll say, well, we still give him a little 30 day, like a little lag time. So no, according to Rav, we make her divorce right away, which is what you would ask me, Yosef. We take ketubah and give the ketubah. Ushmuel amar, afilu b'stam lo yotzi. Shmuel says, even if it's stam, even if you just make an open-ended netter, if she can't benefit, then he shouldn't divorce her for 30 days, right? He says, shemim sa petach l'nidro, because perhaps during this lag time, while he'll continue to support her with the parnas, maybe he'll find grounds to vacate his netter, and then he can go live happily ever after. So that's the machlok between Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, he got a divorce right away. When Shmuel would give him a little, we cut him a little slack. And again, there's a machloket among the Mefarshim. According to Rashi, we force him to divorce the wife. According to the Rishonim, we just encourage him to divorce the wife. And that's the way the article had it. So the Gemara says, by Fligu Bacharizim, but Rav and Shmuel already had almost the identical machloket in another Mishnah that we did previously in our Masechta. So he says, Ditnan, because we learned the Mishnah, this is earlier on Daf Samach Aleph, if a person makes a neder that his wife cannot benefit from his tashmish, from his tashmish amita. So Beit Shammai Amrim Shtei Shabbatot. Beit Shammai says if the neder was up to 2 weeks, then he could stay married to her. Beit Hillel Amrim Shabbat Achad. And Beit Hillel says if the neder is up to 1 week, he can stay married to her. But more than that, he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. So he says Va'amarav. Rav says concerning that machloket b'mafarish. The only machloket in Beit Hillel Beit Shammai is when he specifies a period of time. Avobastam yotzi la'alter b'tein ketubah. If he makes an eder that his wife cannot get benefit from his tashmish, then like they can't have marital relations, so they got a divorce right away. We don't say according to Beit Hillel that he gets 1 more week. We don't say according to Beit Shammai you get 2 more weeks. You get a divorce right away according to Rav. And Shmuel says that even if it's stam, you shouldn't divorce her immediately. Presumably you'll have that lag time of a week or 2 weeks. Because maybe in that lag time, they'll find a way to vacate the neder, and then no harm, no foul. So the question is, why does the Tanna have to teach me almost the identical machloket? We had the machloket between Rav and Shmuel by the person who says that he makes a neder that the wife can't benefit from him. And the netter that she can't, have benefit from his marital relations. And in each case, Rav says, if it's open-ended, they have to divorce right away, and he gives her the ksuba. And in each case, Shmuel says, we give him a little layak time. So why do they need the machloket in both places? So the Gemara says, it was necessary to teach me the machloket in both situations. These marbahim, If they only taught me the machloket in the second case with the marital relations, but he come a Rav, I would say Rav says he's got to divorce her right away. There's no stopgap method. In other words, it's, you can't have a steward to take his place to have tashmish. You can't have a shliach for that, right? Because the efshar b'parnas of Al-Baha, but when it comes to getting hana from him, the efshar b'parnas, where you know they can get along with the steward, ema motiv le'shmuel. I would think that Rav is motiv to Shmuel, and we give it lag time. Yithmar b'ha, and if they only took me the machloket by the, when he makes the neder about her not getting benefit from him, b'ha kamar Shmuel, b'shmuel the efshar b'parnas. I say Shmuel there says you get a lag time because he can have a parnas, he can have a steward who'll take care of her for that period of time. About Baha'i, but by marital relations, Ema Moda the Rav. I'll say Shmuel is Moda Rav, so it's Tricha. So we need both Machlo code. Okay, so again, let's just repeat and then review, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we'll move on. So we learned in our Mishnah that if a man makes a neder that the wife can't get benefit from him, so again, there was Machlo between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda, but basically, if the neder is like for a time certain and it's less than a month, then they could stay married. But if it's more than that, they can't stay married. So then let's say he makes an open-ended neder and he doesn't have a specific time. So does he have to divorce her right away, or he gets still a lag time of, you know, 30 days while the partner's, you know, takes care of her? So according to Rav, there's no lag time. Now you get divorced right away. And according to Shmuel, you get lag time. And then we had a similar machloket by Tashmish. He makes the neder that the wife can't benefit from his tashmish. So then, actually, the neder is, one second, the neder is a little different with it, that he can't benefit from the tashmish. Yeah, I misspoke about the nature of the neder. It's in other words, we went through this. In other words, he can't make a neder that she can't benefit from the tashmish, but he can make a neder that he can't benefit from the tashmish. So it's, at the end of the day, it's the same thing. But the point is, he's offering her benefit on him. But but if he makes this open-ended netter that he can't benefit from her tashmish, which means he's not going to have relations with her. So Rav says they got a divorce right away. And Shmuel says they get a little lag time, according to Beit Hillel, 1 week. According to Beit Shammai, 2 weeks. So why did the Tana have to teach me the machloket in both instances? So the basic idea is that I would think that when he makes the netter about benefiting from him, I would think that Rav, that Shmuel holds over there that you can have a parnas, so it makes sense that they're over there, he'll hold that you have a parnas. But by the marital relations, I would think not. And if you told me about the marital relations, I would say Rav holds over there that they got to, you know, divorce right away because you can't have a parnas, and here you could have a parnas, you'd agree with Shmuel. So come on, Shmuel, I'm about to look in both instances. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up, Rafi? Well, again, I mean, the man is the one who made this neder. He's the one who presumably thought this thing through and made the neder. So I mean, what's the rush? What's the rush according to Rav? For which case? In other words, like Shmuel, you mean? When it was wrong, so you're asking just the machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Why? What's Rav the fire on him to say that they got to get divorced right away? Okay, one second. Yeah, but, I mean, this marriage sounds like it's on the rocks already. But let's see where this is going here. One second. Yeah. So he says over here. He says here at footnote 5, there's no point in employing a steward at all, according to Rav. Rather, if the wife wishes it, he must divorce her immediately. I don't know more to say about this. I don't have an answer for this more than that. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay. What do you got, Aaron Moshe?
Think that they would that the Rabbanim in general would try to be a right of Shalom to try to get them together.
Yeah, that's what Rafi and Yosef were saying.
Yeah.
That's what Rafi and Yosef were saying. It could be like the pain that she feels so much, like, you know, that he made such an error. I don't know, maybe people know about it or whatever. It's just like, whatever. I don't know. Anyway, all right, let's go back to the Gemara. All right, now we're at the two dots on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. So Tubot 71a, around 20 lines down, at the two dots. Okay. Now, this is again going back to our Mishnah that we learned yesterday. Okay. Tanana Mad Yir Ishto Shlotam Akabim Kol Peirod Yosibi Tank Tubot. Now, we think right now in the Havamina that the Mishnah is talking about that the husband made a neder that his wife can't have any payroll. So how can he make a neder like that? So he frames the neder that if she has any fruits or whatever, then he's not gonna, then that'll invoke that she can't get enough from him, or he can't have tashmish with her. In other words, I can't make a neder that you can't have fruit. But, and this is only the Havami, we're going to say that she's the one who's making the neder. But we think right now that he's making the neder. So how can he make a neder that she can't have fruit? He makes the neder that if she eats whatever fruit it is, apples, then she can't get any hana from him. Or if she eats apples, then he can't get hana from her tashmish, or something like that. So that he could do. Okay, one second. Wait, whatever the fruit is. Okay, so the Gemara says, so if he makes a neder like that, he has to divorce her immediately and give her a ksuba. So now, in the Mishnah, we have two cases. We have a case in the beginning of the Mishnah where we give her, like, up to 30 days, he could keep her. In other words, when the neder relates to getting benefit from him, more than that, he has to divorce her. But here, there's no lag time, according to everybody. It's divorced right away. So Tanan Amad Yir Ishto Shlom Nechad Kaperi Yotzi Tank Tuba B'Shlem L'Rav Kam B'Stam Kam B'Farish. So Rav will say this line of the Mishnah is talking about an open-ended neder, and the beginning of the Mishnah was talking about where he specified so he doesn't have to divorce her immediately. That if he says up to 30 days, he says El Shmuel. But according to Shmuel, who says you always get a 30-day lag, he says Kasha. So this is going to be difficult. How do we understand this case in the Mishnah? In other words, why does the Mishnah say that he's got to divorce her right away and give her a ksuba? Shmuel holds that even if he makes an open-ended neder in the first case, that there's still 30 days to get. Why right away? He's got to be on the divorce route. So how come I ask on Yon Shnadar he became like you? So the Gemara says no. The case we're dealing with is not that the man made a neder, not the way I said it a moment ago, but the woman made the neder. In other words, his wife makes a neder, she's not going to have whatever peaches. And then he sustains that neder. He says, I confirm it. Because Savar, Rabbi Meir, and we think that the Stam Mishnah, we have a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, we think it's like Rabbi Meir, the Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Because Savar, Rabbi Meir, who notain etz bein shineho? The town of Rabbi Meir holds, it's as if he takes her finger and puts it between her teeth. In other words, he, by sustaining the neder, is causing the whole situation. He's the culpable party. She makes the neder, but he sustains the neder. He could revoke it, but he sustains it. So he's like taking her finger and putting it between her teeth and causing her to bite her finger, meaning he's causing the whole situation. So as a result of that, so again, it means like this. She made the neder, so it doesn't make sense that we're going to give, in other words, so if she wants to get divorced, it doesn't make sense that we're going to give her an opportunity to find a petach. She's not interested in a petach. She wants to get divorced. But since he's the one who sustained it, we say you have to divorce right away and give her the whole ksuba. That's what it means. So the Gemara says, the Sarah Meir who don't take explanation now, in Rameir holds that when a husband confirms his wife's neder, he's like the sort of the wrongdoer. In other words, he's the one who is like responsible to clean up the mess if he sustained it or the fallout from it. He said, did he hold that? In other words, his expression that he took her finger and stuck it between her teeth where she bit it. In other words, he's the one who caused all the problems. But so is that true that Rabbi Meir holds that way? We think that our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. We think that our Mishnah does hold that he has to divorce and give it to Ksuba. So the Gemara says, Bahatanya, we learn in the Braisa, Aisha Shanad Rabbi Nazir. If a woman, means a married woman, made a neder to be a Nazir, we normally don't think, or to be a Nazira, we normally don't think of a woman as a Nazir, but it could be. So he says here, he says, "B'shama bala below he ferva," and the husband hears about the neder the day that she makes it, and he doesn't revoke it. Reb Meir of Reb Yehuda Omrim, "Hinana et v'bein shineh." So this is going to be the kasha. The Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, who are normally bar plukas throughout Shas, they both hold that she's the wrongful party. In other words, she's the one who's creating all the marital discord. She put her finger between her teeth. In other words, yeah, it's not working out well with the marriage. I can't understand why, but she's, in other words, she's the one who did the whole mess. I mean, it's obviously being sarcastic. If the husband wants to revoke the vow, fine. Look, I don't want a woman who goes around making all these nidarim. Then she has to get divorced without a ktuba. In other words, she's the one who's giving the grounds for the divorce. So she loses her right to the ktuba. But the point is that we see the Remeir holds that he that's contradicts what he says in our Mishnah, which we think is Rebbe Meir. And then the Brisa continues on the third wide line. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Lazar Omrim, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Lazar say he's the one at fault. He put her finger between her teeth and caused her to bite it. He says, Lefichach, im ratza bala feri afer. If he wants to revoke it, fine, he can revoke it. Vimamar, if she be shanadranit. He says, listen, I don't want a woman who goes around making all these nadarim, yotzi b'tein ktuba, so he can divorce her, but then he has to give the ktuba because he's the one who confirmed it. But the bottom line is, we have a stira, because in our Mishnah, we says that, which we think is Reb Meir, we says that we have to divorce her, she's got to divorce her right away and give her the ktuba, where she makes this neder not to have the fruit, and she's making the neder, he confirms it. But we think our mission is like Remeir, and that's, you know, Hunatan Espabeshina. He's the one, the wrong acting party. And in the Brisa, Remeir says in a similar situation where she makes the neder to be a Nazir, she's the one who is the wrongfully acting party. And Mamela, she gets divorced without a ksuba. So how do we reconcile that stira? So the Gemara says on line 5, Epoch, we're going to have to reverse the Shitod as they were set forth in the Brisa. I.e., Remeir and Rabbi Huda Omrim Hunotain, that it's Remeir and Rabbi Huda say, not he not now, but Hunotain, that he's the wrongful party. He says, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Lazar Omrim he not now. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar say, she's the wrongful party. But having done that, now Remeir, we're all on the same page with Remeir, he's the wrongful acting party. So the Gemara says, but now the way we flipped everything over, Bistaba Rabbi Yossi he not now. I mean, the Tana Rabbi Yossi holds that she's the wrongful acting party, but it's not. We learn in the Mishnah, and this was in our Mishnah that we did yesterday, Rabbi Yossi Omer Baniyo, Shnonon Tan Kitzva. If the man makes an, or the, we're going to see, we didn't do this yet, but the woman makes an eder that she's not going to be mitkashe, that she's not going to, you know, use cosmetics, which we'll see. So Rabbi Yossi says if she's from a poor family or, and he's, in our Mishnah, right, that she's from a poor family and she didn't give, like, you know, a date when this, you know, would terminate, then Mamela, then he says, Yotzibi Tank, he says, the ring Yotzibi Tank Tuba. He had divorced her and give a Tuba, even though she's the one that's making the netter. So the Gemara says, so back to the Gemara. So he says, yeah, Saba Rabbi Yossi, Hina Na. It was Rabbi Yossi says she's the wrongful acting party, but then Rabbi Yossi Mirbani Yoshlana Tan Kitzva. That if it's from a poor family, she didn't have an open end, so she's got to divorce her, and she doesn't get the ksuba. So the Gemara says, we're right, we're going to have to revise this again. Ema, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Omrian, Huno Tang. So we're going to flip it around. So again, we had four Tanai mentioned the Braisa. We had Remeir with Rabbi Huda, and then we had Rabbi Yossi with Rabbi Lazar. So Remeir, we want to say, is on the side that says Hunatan. And then we said that Rabbi Huda also holds this way, but then Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar was Hinana. So the Gemara says, no, we're going to flip, we're going to mix and match. Remeir, Rabbi Yossi, Omrim Hunatan. There must be the Tana Remeir and the Tana Rabbi Yossi say he's the wrongful party. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Lazar, Omrim Hinana. And she's the wrongful acting party. So the Gemara says, "V'sabar Rabbi Yehuda Hinana." I mean, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that she's the wrongful acting party, but Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and this was again in our mission that we just did yesterday. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Israel Yom Echad Yikayim, that if he's this is one second with the this is when she makes an edit not to have any fruits. So Rabbi Yehuda says if the husband is the non-Kohen, is the Israel. So if it's just for one day, he can keep her. But if it's 2 days, he's got to divorce her and Hukibra the Ksuba. So how can we say that B'savar Rabbi Huda Hinana, I mean the Tana Rabbi Huda holds that she's the wrongful party. Here she's making an eder not to have the fruit. But Tana Rabbi Huda may be Soyom Machadi Kayim. He said, but if it's 2 days, he's got a Yotzibi Tank Tuba. So Amos, we're going to have to revise the price again. We'll say, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Omrim, Huno, Tain. So we got three Tanayim. They say he's the wrongful party. Rabbi Lazar, Omer, he not know. And he says, okay, so as we revise the price of that way, so everything now is in good shape. Our mission is like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds she's a fool. And Rabbi Huda also holds that Rabbi Meir holds that he's the fool. Rabbi Huda holds he's at fault, and Rabbi Yossi also holds that he's at fault. So now, the Rabbi Lazar holds not. Timsi Lomar, Zugi Zugi Kani, but if you want to say the Tana Bryce was teaching pairs, in other words, if the Tana may have made a mistake in attribution, maybe I could take that. But if I have four Tanaim, I have two and two, maybe it doesn't make sense that it should be three and one, which is the way we're doing it. So Ema, so the way I should understand the Brisa is Rameir Rablaza Omrim Hinana. The Rameir says she's at fault. Rabbi Huda Rabbi Yossi Omrim Hunotain. He says, so indeed Rameir would conflict with the whole thing in our Mishnah, but Hastam and look Rameir. In other words, our Mishnah may not be like Rameir. We have a Stam Mishnah, assume like Rameir. Maybe our Mishnah doesn't go like Rameir. Indeed, Rameir holds that she's the one that's at fault. All right. Now let me pause for a second and let's catch our breath and digest a little bit what we did. So the basic idea we had discussed was we had in the case of the Mishnah said Amadir Ish Shlot Tomachad Mikula Payroad. So it sounds like he was making the neder, which is the way we thought initially, but it comes out from the Gemara that he's not the one who's making the neder. She's making the neder, that he's not going to have a specific fruit, and he sustains the neder. But having done that, having sustained it, he has to divorce her and give her her ksuba, which means we view him as the wrongful acting party because he's got to divorce her and pay her the ksuba. So he's the wrongful acting party. So we thought it's a Mishnah going like Rameir, but it could be that it's like Rameir. Rameir holds that he's the wrongful acting party, or it may not be like Rameir because our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Maybe Rameir holds that it could be that she's the wrongful acting party and the Stam is not like Rabbi Meir. All right, who's the questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? That she made a neder that she's never going to have a certain fruit, let's say like peaches. But then he sustains it. In other words, he hears about the neder and he says he's been kind the neder. So that's why he's at fault instead of revoking it. Again, it has to be. It has to be either a neder that relates to inui nefesh, which is like a lack of pleasure, which could be with the eating, or dvarim shebeino lebeino, things that lead to marital discord. So it sounds like more the first type. It's inui nefesh, which we'll talk about shortly. What did you want, Aaron Moshe?
I was going to say, what happens if she thinks she's, you said peaches. Let's say she's allergic. She thinks she's allergic to peaches. She makes a net. I'm not going to. And he said, okay. So now he asked him
the one. Yeah, I tell this whole thing with the fruit was there is some Rishon who want to say that it means like she's not going to have any fruit in the world or something like that, more globally or something like that. But it's hard to understand exactly with this fruit, the whole thing. I don't know if they were sensitive to allergies, but Zman Chazal, I don't. And Lewis, the idea is that she's making a neder that's gonna, he's not happy with this neder and he could revoke it, but it's that's it. Okay, what's up?
I have a question.
Or one minute. Go ahead. We're thinking what? Yes, it didn't derice, right? Okay, what's up, Malka? Was that Malka I heard?
So when
I can't see you, Malka.
Sorry, when he sends her out without her ksuba, does she get back her dowry money?
Yeah, I think that it depends what was written in the ksuba, whatever was provided for in the ksuba. She's entitled to, certain property that she brings into the marriage, like the nechsei milug and nechsei son barzel. So if it was articulate, if that was set forth in the ksuba, she would get that back. All right? the dowry could be the dowry could be different items. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara now. All right, now the Gemara says, now we're five lines from the bottom. Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. Okay, B'Savar of Yosi Baniyo Shlonatan Kitzva. So we said in the Mishnah that the Tana Rabbi Yosi holds that if she was from a poor family and when she makes this neder and she doesn't set a any time limit for it, so then he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. This is with shlotik hashet, right? With the cosmetics. So somebody who's been yishlon san kitzva, ama baal matinefer. So the fact that he's giving the ksuba means that we view, in other words, in the last parts of the Mishnah, she's making the darim and he's sustaining it. So he's culpable because he sustained the neder, and therefore he's got to divorce her and give her the ksuba for it. So, but the implication being that if he wanted to revoke it, he could revoke it. So he says here, he says, Alma Baal Matzi Mefer. So that leads to the implication that if the wife, according to the Tana Rabbi Yossi, if the wife makes a neder, she's not going to use a certain cosmetic, that he could, if he would choose, to revoke the neder. Now again, I'm just repeating myself. I said a moment ago, so everybody agrees that a Baal can be Mefer and Nedarim, but not every neder. It has to fall into one or two categories. Either it's something that relates to Inui Nefesh, like causes her like physical suffering, a lack of pleasure, or it's Devarim Beinol Beinah, things that relate to both of them that will cause division between both of them. So if she's making that it doesn't relate to any one of those, he can't be revoked. So he says here, Urmina, so this we post a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechta Nedarim, which I hope people remember because that's our next Masechta. It says, Eil Devarim Shabal Mefer. These are the things that a husband can revoke. Devarim Sheish Ben Inui Nefesh. If it has Inui Nefesh, like, you know, pain and affliction involved with it, something coming up with Yom Kippur, a lot with Inui, he says, Imer Chatzim Lo Rechatz. If she makes an edit of the lace to her bathing or not bathing, Imet Kashetim Lo Kashet. If I, you know, I'm going to, like, apply cosmetics or not. That's the perfumes. Rashi says, Shavuah Shlo Kashet. If she makes a Shua, that she's not going to use, let's say, perfume anymore. He says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ein Elu Nidrei Inui Nefesh. So the Tana Rabbi Yossi says, we want to focus on et kashet, like using perfumes is not a neder of Inui Nefesh. The Elohi Nidrei Inui Nefesh. As far as I'm concerned, what Inui Nefesh, in other words, I don't think those two about bathing, it rises the level of Inui Nefesh, and using perfume relates to rise the level of Inui Nefesh. I'll tell you what I think is Inui Nefesh. He's a million nidra inu nefesh, shlomo chabasar. If he makes it, I'm not going to eat meat. Yeah, that's inu nefesh. Shlomo shtayayin, I won't drink wine. Shlomo et kashet, living day sivonim. I won't wear colored clothes. That's inu nefesh. Apparently, Rashi says on the top line, yinayi bizayin hula mit ganela, that's a real disgrace for her. I guess everybody's wearing colored clothes. So that's a disgrace with her. So, but the bottom line is, how could the Tana Rabbi Yossi and our Mishnah attribute fault to the husband for not revoking the vow, not to be mitkashayed, when he doesn't hold that the Baal could do that. So once that's the question. So the top line on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, Hakamai Eskinan, what are we dealing with in our Mishnah? The Devarim Shebeinol Debeinah. So we misunderstood the Mishnah. We thought Shod Kashayed, which is like putting on perfume, so relates to Inui Nefesh. So no, Lod Kashayed is like a euphemism. It means that she wants to use like a depilatory to take off her pubic hair, like it shouldn't interfere with their marital relations. And that's what it relates to. He says, so the Gemara, so it's not Devarim Beinol Beinah, it's not Devarim Shel Inui Nefesh, it's Devarim Shel Beinol Beinah. And yeah, he holds it Devarim Beinol Beinah, the one we're talking about. So Anith Laman Devarim Devarim Shel Beinol Beinah Haval Mayfair. So according to the opinion, it says a husband could revoke it. Now everybody agrees that a husband can revoke Devarim Shel Beinol Beinah. The issue is this case of using like a depilatory, is that the Varim Beinol Beinah? Then we're fine. The Laman Devar in a Baal Mayfair, but according to the opinion that holds that this doesn't cut it, if I can use that expression, as a Devarim Beinol Beinah, my Ikal Lameymar. What are we going to say? To Itmar, Devarim Beinol Beinah, things between the husband and wife. Again, everybody agrees that Devarim Beinol Beinah, the husband could revoke, but it means like using a depilatory, Rav Huna Amar Baal Mayfair. Rav Huna holds the husband could revoke it. Of Adabarav Amar ain't a Baal Mefer. He says, no, the husband can't revoke it. we never found a fox that died in his foxhole, meaning the fox knows his foxhole. He knows where all the holes are. So it means the husband, you know, even if the wife, you know, isn't doing anything with her pubic hair, he knows his way around the neighborhood, and he'll be able to have relations with her without too much difficulty. So again, let's just review what we're up to, and then I'm going to finish. Wait. Let me just, okay. So again, in our Mishnah, we had a case where the woman makes a neder that she's not going to be mitkashet. And Rabbi Yossi holds that he's at fault for not revoking that vow, and therefore he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. So we said, if it means cosmetics, that can't be, because the Tana Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold that that's the Dvarim Shel Inui Nefesh. So the Gemara says, no, we misunderstood the Mishnah. When it says Shel Kashet, it means that she's not going to use like a certain type of depilatory to take out her pubic hair, and that's Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino. Yeah, but not everybody agrees it's Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino. So he says here, Ella, So we're going to move away from that explanation. So we're back to cosmetics. She linked, in other words, she says she's not going to use cosmetics, but if she uses cosmetics, then he's prohibited in getting hana from her tashmish. He says, the amra yeserana tashmish shalai met kashay. He says that if I use these cosmetics, then you are prohibited from having relations with me. That was what the neder was. And that he could definitely, that's definitely Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino, because that the Tashmish is definitely Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino. So the fact that he didn't revoke it, he's culpable for that, because he could have revoked. The Amar Rav Kahana, like Rav Kahana says, the Amar Rav Kahana, Hana'a Tashmishin Alayich, if this is like the way she frames the netter, if she says getting her enough from my tashmish is prohibited to you, so you could force her and she'll have relations with him. But hana tashmish ha alai, but if I am asking getting hana from your tashmish, yeah, fair, he should revoke it. In other words, we're not if he's gonna want to have relations with his wife. So if she's making an edda that she can't get hana from his tashmish, so that's like he's going to put him in an impossible position. He says, so that's the case in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, velot kashay velot te'aser. So why can't we just say, according to Rabbi Yossi, that this is not, he says it's not inui nefesh, how can he be made for that? In other words, not using the cosmetics by itself is not inui nefesh. But if she violates the neder, then it will come to be, you know, Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino. That'll be Dvarim Shebeino Lebeino. So why do we say you can revoke it? He says, below tidkashet, below te'aser. Why don't we say to her, so I got a better idea. Instead of him revoking your neder, so don't use the cosmetics, and then, you know, you won't be prohibited to him. Im Kane Karu Lamanuvelet. So people call her disgusting. She's walking around with any, you know, makeup. So the Gemara says, "V'tikashet v'teyaser." But let's say, even if she, like, why does he have to divorce her right away in this circumstance? Let's say the worst case scenario that she does put on the cosmetics, and now she's prohibited to him. Either Beit Shammai Shtei Shabbatot. So according to Beit Shammai, she have a lag time of up to 2 weeks. Either Beit Hillel Shabbat Akad. Why in this case do we say, you know, divorce pronto, but normally the worst case scenario is that she's prohibited having relations with them, but even the worst case scenario, she should have at least a week or two. So why do we give a week or two? So the Gemara says, Hani mile heicha da adra iu. We say give him a week or two, that's where he made the neder that, you know, her tashmish is going to be prohibited to him. He says, the Savra, she's thinking when he makes the neder like this, he was in an angry mood. He got angry at me. And now when he comes down, so he'll get the hataras and dharma, whatever, and then we'll make up. We'll get together again, right? He says, "Aval hacha d'nadrei." Here, where she makes this neder, apparently she's upset at him, and she says, "You know, if I put on makeup, I'm prohibited from having relations with you, or you're prohibited from having relations with me." The Shatik law, and he's silent. Savra mita ishtik, she thinks, since he was so silent and he went along with this, he hates my guts. So therefore, there's nothing to, like, the marriage is over. It's kaput. So therefore, she wants to be divorced right away. You know, this could relate to what we said earlier with you asking me about Rav. You know, remember when he makes this neder, but not having relations with her. So maybe Rav is thinking that if he makes this neder, like, it's, I don't think it's the other side. He's making the neder. All right, but anyway. Okay, wait. Let's just summarize, then I'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. All right, so we hooked into an issue in our Mishnah with Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yossi seems to hold the man is culpable for not revoking his wife's vow not to wear makeup or cosmetics. And then we said, but does Rabbi Yossi say you can revoke such a vow? And then the Gemara proves that he holds when it comes to cosmetics, you can't. So the Gemara says, no, we misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah is really talking about that she's, you know, mitkashated, she's putting like some depilatory to remove pubic hair, and that relates to the Dvarim Shebeinu Lebeinu. So, but the Gemara says that not everybody agrees that that's Dvarim Shebeinu Lebeinu. So the Gemara says, scratch that. The case is that she says not that she's not going to wear cosmetics, but she says if she does wear cosmetics, then right, her hana is prohibited to him, or right. So her hana tashmish is prohibited to him. So the hana tashmish fa'alai. No. He says the hana from your tashmish is prohibited to me. I get confused. In other words, he can prohibit on herself hana from his tashmish. If I wear the cosmetics, the hana from your tashmish is prohibited to me, and mela, that's something he could revoke. So then the Gemara says, why does he have to revoke that? Why don't we just say that she shouldn't put on cosmetics and we'll go along that way? So the Gemara says that, no, everybody would call her manubel, disgusting, repulsive. So the Gemara says, but okay, but let's say even the worst case scenario, if she would put on cosmetics, why doesn't she get like up to a week or two to sort things out? Because according to Beis Hillel, you know, if a person says, you know, I won't have relations with you, whatever, so you get a week, celebrate, you get 2 weeks, why do we say you got a divorce right away? So he said that's when he makes the neder, so according to Beis Hillel, the neder is up to a week, so wait. Yeah, but let me just say one second. Yeah, but the only thing, yeah, I'll take 1 minute. All right, anyway, but the point is that if he makes it, so if he thinks he'll calm down and things will be different, and then he'll change his mind. But here, where she's making the neder, not to like that, you know, that tashmi should be prohibited to her, and he's silent. She thinks he's silent. In other words, he's silent when he heard this. He hates me, and there's nothing to sustain with this marriage. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? Wait, say again, repeat. The husband can revoke the wife's neder. The wife cannot revoke the husband's neder. Why Nazir is a neder? Can what? Yeah, there's no problem with remaining married. Yeah. Right. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's wrap it up. His pleasure on herself, right. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Anir Shlomatan Kitzvah. So this is with the kishut and with the cosmetics. Rabbi Yossi says if it's open ended and she's an Aniya, then they got a divorce right away because she didn't give a kitzvah. But let's say she did give a kitzvah. What is the time limit where we wouldn't say you have to get divorced? Become a kitzvah. I'm Rabbi Yomar Shmuel Shnei Kodesh. So Rabbi Yossi and Shmuel, it's an Aniya, you get 12 months. So just go down with cosmetics for 12 months. So in other words, they're married. In other words, and she makes an editor, she's not going to put on cosmetics. if the neder is for up to 12 months, they don't have to get divorced. A poor lady. Poor lady. He says, Rabbi Bar Barchanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Esr Shanim. Can even be 10 years. That's quite a while. Rav Chista Mar Avimi, Regel. Rav Chista is an Avimi. It means if the neder goes over one regel, then that's it. It's too long. But don't you swim a kashtop regel? Because the Jewish women, they put on cosmetics for the regel. Okay, now, uvashirot shloshim yom. If it's a wealthy woman, then it's up to 30 days. So maishna shloshim yom, why 30 days? Where do you get 30 days from? Amar abayesh kin isha chashuva nanet mireach kishuteh shloshim yom. An isha chashuva will benefit from like the aroma of her fragrance for 30 days. So 30 days she can go without, you know, cosmetics. But after that, perfume, whatever. But after that, not. All right. That's it for this. Now, any questions, comments, thoughts? Yeah. So that's a good question. It sounds like the way she is now, I would assume. And not the way she was before. The way she is now. Yeah, right. That's what I would think. I think it's the way she is now. Let me just take a look 1 second. He says, all right, this is it. Okay, we have to wing it. Okay. All right, I'm going on to the next mission. Okay, everybody with me? All right, now. Okay, we're on the next mission. Ayin Aleph, Amud Beis, 71b, the Mishnah. So, Manitin, Hamad Yer Ishto, if a husband makes a neder vis-a-vis his wife, Shlo Tilech L'Beit Aviyah. In other words, he makes a neder, I don't want you going to your father's house, right? So, we'll see how this neder works out. Bizman Shuhu Ima B'ir, if he's in the same town as her, so Chodesh Achad Yikayim. So, if the neder is for up to a month, he should keep her as his wife. Shnayim yosi b'tein ksuba. But if it goes into the second month, he has to divorce her and give her ksuba. He says, "Ubizman shubir acheret." If he's in a different city, regel achad yikayim. If it's one regel, in other words, if it goes through one yontiv, in other words, apparently the women would go visit their family on the regel. So if it's one regel yikayim, shlosh yotzi. But three, he has to divorce her. And the Gemara is going to ask, "What about two?" We'll see in a minute. Yosiv yiteng tuba. Hamadir ishto shol tzelech lebeit ha'ebel. If a person makes a neder, or you see, it's going to come out, I think, that the wife may have made the neder, but the neder was made, I think it's going to be the wife made the neder, and he's sustaining it. That's really going to be the case. So hamadir ishto shol tzelech lebeit ha'ebel. If she makes a neder, she's not going to go to a house of mourning, any house of mourning. O lebeit ha'mishto, or to any, you know, like a wedding celebration. In other words, it's putting her in an impossible situation where she can't like socialize with people. If he was towing, in other words, if he says, we don't know what this means yet, but the way Rav Kati says, if there's a reason for him to sustain such a netter, like the people who are in those places are acting with priests or something like that, so he says, and then he's permitted to do that. Now, Amarla, now this is like a piece of a neder. The Gemara doesn't spell out the whole thing here. I think he's like he's like vacating a vow, but on condition that you tell Ploni what you told me, or what I told you. There are different pshatim on this, but one simple pshat that so draw water and then like, you know, dump it in the drain. It was like things that are debasing, you know, CV thing too. But if he attaches like these stipulations to his annulment, he has to divorce her right away because it's like putting her in a difficult situation. But the Gemara will explain more later on, but tomorrow's now. Now the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha, the Mishnah is internally contradictory. Amat regula chadikayim. If he makes the neder that she can't go see her parents for one regal, he can keep her as the wife. Hashnayim yotzi. So if the neder encompasses two regalim, he has to divorce her. B'tein ktuba. Ema seifa, but then the next clause of the Mishnah says, shloshi yotzi b'tein ktuba. If the neder includes three regalim, he has to divorce her. He says, hashnayim yikayim, which leads me to think that if it's two regalim, he can keep her as his wife. So Amar Abaye, Seifa Tan Kohenet, Rabbi Yehudahi. In other words, so Abaye says, by Estam Yisrael, a person who's a non-Kohen, so one regel is the shear. So if he says in Neder that you can't go to your father's house for one regel, so he can keep his wife. More than one regel, he's got to divorce her. But if it's a Kohen, then we do two, because a Kohen cannot be Maxir Grushatel. That's going to be history for them. So we give him the Kohen a little bit more time. And it's like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah before, who said we give more time to the Kohenim. Now, that's one answer. Rabbi Bar Ula Amar Lo Kasha. Rabbi Ula says a different explanation. Why does it say, like, one clause thing sounds like two regalim, you got a divorce. The other two regalim, you don't have to divorce. So Rabbi Bar Ula Amar Lo Kasha, Kam Redufa, Kam Shein Redufa. That the one that says that you only get one regal, that's talking about the woman is very attached to her parents and is always going to the parents constantly. So if he makes an eder that she's prohibited from the parents one regal, he can keep her his wife. But more than that, not. Because she's like, you know, like with them all the time. But the other, if she's a reduker, she doesn't visit the parents so much. So then if he makes an eder like the two yantovim, like Nishka Fairlach, and then the three in the arm is a problem. Now, the Gemara having brought up, you know, women who, you know, like their parents. So the Gemara has some other, you know, little piece, wait, four lines and I'll pause. So the Gemara says, Az hayiti b'inav kemotzei shalom. This is a pasuk in Shir Shirim. So, like, the Pshuto Shemekra is talking about, Shir Shirim is like a love sonnet, or, you know, a love song between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael is the bride, the woman, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is the groom. So as I bring up kemotzei shalom, like when I will, you know, like praise Hashem, I'll be kemotzei shalom, like someone who finds peace. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kikala shem say shleima b'beit chamia, like a kala that's turns out to be perfect in her father-in-law's house. In other words, the kala is first with her parents, then she's an arusa, then after a year she goes to her father-in-law's house and lives there with their husband. That's the way they would live, with the father-in-law. So it says like a kala shenim se shleima, who's found to be perfect in the father's house, and she wants to run back to her father to tell, look, they love me over there. Like, guess what, Dad? They're thrilled with me. So it says az hayiti beinav motzei shalom, means like a kala that's nim se shleima, that she's found to be perfect in the father-in-law's house. On that day, you know, Ishi and Bali both being like my husband, but Ishi is more husband, Bali is like more my master. Because on that day, in other words, the Nevuah in Hosea is, we're going to have a better relationship, you and I, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, and it's going to be, I'm going to be like your husband, not like your Baal. He says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Kikal Beit Chamia, we're going to be like the bride in her father-in-law's house, not like the bride in her father's house. Then it's like not, they're married, but they're not like so ingratiated, you know. And look at the last Rashi, who's already married, with ghastly Baba Bala, like feels comfortable with her husband, made a boshayman, wasn't embarrassed from him. They're like, you know, like a unity. Okay, now, what did you want to say before? Yeah, I'll tell you in one second. You know, I hate to bother you, Yosef. Give me, if you would, the Kahati Subas, okay? The Unison's on the third shelf from the bottom, and the dark volumes. Let me get the dark volumes. You see the Subas? Higher. There. If Nashim one. Thank you. What? All right, well, thank you so much. Okay, now. One second. No, so it means like this. The way Rav Kati says, the woman is the one who made the neder. She says to her husband, Te'aser hana tashmishcha alai, that hana from your tashmish will be prohibited to me if I go to my father's house. So that's the case. That's the case that we're talking about in the Mishnah. Wait. So he could revoke such a vow, but if he doesn't revoke that vow, so then he's culpable for this whole situation. Okay. Anyway. So in other words, no, I don't think he can make a neder that she won't go to the, he can't make a neder like that. It's like Okay. All right. Now, all right. Any other questions? Okay. Let me do a little bit here. We're not done yet. And then we will be finished. And again, on Shabbos, the daf is at 4:20, the Shabbos Yosef. 4:20, because we have a guest speaker here. So I moved it up 1 hour so that people can hear the best guest speaker. 4:20 on Shabbat. Believe that or I'm going to send out an email about that. Okay. Now, all right. He's got a whole piece here, but let me do this other piece here. This is from the Digest. Okay. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, the Ben Ish Chai, was asked whether a wife is obligated to listen to her husband's instructions when he demands that she behave foolishly. So that's what we had. We didn't talk about it such length, but in the Mishnah, we said, Oshte Malama Rela Ashba. In other words, he attaches a, in other words, in the Mishnah, we said that, he says, Amar la menach tomri leploni umashamart li umashamart lach oshim malamar la ashbo. So it means the husband says, I'm revoking your vow on condition that, among other things, you fill up water and you drop it in the gutter, which is like a ridiculous debasing thing. So then Mamela, then he's going to have to, you know, divorce her. Then he's going to have to divorce her. So when Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, the Ben Ish Chai, was asked whether a wife is obligated to listen to her husband's instructions when he demands that she behave foolishly. For example, if a husband pressures his wife to ride around on a stick like a child, bark like a dog, or bray like a donkey, is she obligated to listen? Now, the wife obviously does not wish to behave in this way since it is embarrassing, and perhaps he cannot force her to behave in an embarrassing manner. On the other hand, she's obligated to honor and listen to her husband, and if this will bring her husband joy, perhaps she must comply. The Ben Ish Chai responded that a wife is not obligated to obey these types of instructions from her husband, and he cites our Mishnah as proof. The Gemara, in explanation of our Mishnah, which we didn't do today, teaches that the reason a wife is not obligated to fill buckets and dump out their contents into a garbage heap is that it makes her look foolish. This teaches that a husband cannot demand behavior which appears foolish from his wife. The Ben Ish Chai addresses a similar question pertaining to a parent who instructs his child to behave foolishly. The child obviously does not want to behave foolishly, but perhaps the mitzvah of honoring a parent demands that he should listen to his parent, even if he looks foolish in the process. He answered that a child is also not obligated to behave foolishly to fulfill the mitzvah of honoring a parent, and cites precedent for his ruling from our Gemara. Clearly, if honoring a husband is a biblical obligation, one could derive the law of honoring a parent from honoring a husband. I mean, even if honoring a husband is only a rabbinic obligation, it is still a valid source to teach that a child does not have to embarrass himself to fulfill the mitzvah of honoring his parent. The logic is that rabbinic enactments are patterned after biblical law, and if a child was obligated to embarrass himself to fulfill the mitzvah of honoring a parent, there would also be a requirement for a wife to embarrass herself to honor her husband. In other words, either it's deraisa, or even if it's not deraisa, but the if it's the rabbanon, but the rabbanon would be patterned on the din deraisa. Since that is not the case, it was concluded there was no requirement even for a child to embarrass himself to honor his parent. Okay, now the story, and then it will be it. Our mission delineates a situation where a husband either made or enforced a vow forbidding his wife to eat from any type of produce. So the way he has it here, that she can't eat from any type of produce. He says, in such a case, they should divorce if she receives her ksuba. However, do matters come to such a pass that food can be grounds for the dissolution of marriage? Years ago, a certain friend of Rav Zvi Kowalski Zitzal approached him privately. As you know, I'm not married that long, but I'm already having terrible problems with my wife. We have different tastes. What I want her to prepare, she doesn't enjoy and doesn't want to cook. And all the delicacies she prepares aren't to my liking at all. We keep getting into arguments and I don't know what to do. Rav Kowalski answered, let me tell you a little story. Once upon a time when I was a young bacher, I came home one day from yeshiva and my mother served me vegetable soup. It was so horrible. I thought that I would have to vomit. Somehow I got it down. And when my mother asked me how I liked it, what could I say? How could I upset her after she'd gone through the trouble to cook it for me? So I praised it to the skies. And when I saw how pleased she was, the awful taste didn't bother me a bit. I even managed to accept seconds. To my dismay, I found that since my mother thought I had enjoyed it so much, the same soup was waiting for me every single day. I ate it despite all and prayed that I would be released from the torment when I got married. Lo and behold, my devoted mother had shared my favorite recipe with my kala. And sure enough, the soup followed me into marriage. And so it is until today. I can barely swallow the soup, but she always is so happy when I eat it. I keep up the pretense. He concluded, are you telling me that you have problems because your tastes don't match exactly? Years later, after Rav Kowalski passed away, the same young man told the Rav's widow, Rav Kowalski's words saved my marriage. In other words, so after he passed away, so the young Bacher told the widow that your husband, with his advice, I don't know if you told the secret about the vegetable soup, but his advice saved my marriage. Okay, let me just recording 1 second.